In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began,
God was here and now among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purposes of heaven.
God is in the future, when we have turned to dust and all we know has found fulfillment,
God will be not denying the world but delighting in it, not condemning the world but redeeming it through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit.
God was, God is, God will be.
The biggest change for me over the last 3 months has been that I've been working from home, which has saved me around about 4 hours a day of commuting, which has been one of the great benefits of the lockdown. Another change for us has been that we've had our son Jonathan and his girlfriend Sarah living and working here as well, so that sometimes with Rachel as well, there have been four of us all working from home, and I'm pleased to say that the broadband has held up pretty well during that period. Probably a third major change has been the Upper Beeding Football Club, who had been enjoying their best season in their 55-year history, had the season declared null and void, which was a great shame because it appeared all that hard work had been for nothing. Thinking about the implications of these changes, well, one of these has been that obviously I've had a lot more time available without doing the commuting. Some of that I've been able to use by having a bit of a lie-in, but I've used rather more of it on doing exercise. I've been getting out and about, walking on the various lovely paths around here, and that's been great. I've also been able to divert the expenditure that I was making on commuting towards charities, so that's been another benefit of the lockdown. Work itself has actually been very, very intense. I'm involved in the medical world, and so with the various sort of ins and outs and changes, we've had a lot of work to do. I've also had to have the issue of furloughing half of my sales staff by Zoom meeting, which is far from ideal, but fortunately the company was generous in its terms, and we were able to work out a way so that half the team were furloughed 1 month and then returned, and the other half went the next month, so everybody felt that it was an equitable situation we'd come up with. A number of activities have had to be cancelled. It was supposed to be the Upper Beeding annual six-side football tournament this weekend. That's been cancelled. And the biggest thing for us has been that we've not been able to see our daughter Hannah, who is expecting a baby in early July. We had a three-month period when we couldn't see her. But I'm pleased to say last weekend we did make the round trip on Saturday to Newark and found her well and very happy. So that was good news. In terms of spiritual life, I guess what I've done is probably spent more time reading the Bible than I would have done normally, but for some reason a little less time in prayer. I'm not quite sure why that is, but that seems to have been one of the impacts of the lockdown. Rachel's grandfather had a very good saying, which was, learn from the past, look to the future, but live in the present. And probably like a lot of people, I've spend a certain amount of my time looking to the future. I have to do that with work, and I tend to do it myself anyway. And I've been forced, because of the uncertainties of the current situation, really to focus much more on living in the present and taking each day as it comes. And I think that's been beneficial for me and hopefully those around me. Another sort of thought I've had really is that I've appreciated the local community, local shops, and the support that people are providing to each other. And I just hope that when the lockdown's over, that commitment to local businesses will continue for the community as a whole. The impact, what's been the impact of all this? Well, I have to say I feel a bit guilty because I've actually really rather enjoyed this time period. I know a lot of people have suffered economically and psychologically around the country. I feel very lucky living here. I feel fitter than I've done for years. I've really enjoyed the time with the family. And I've actually managed to develop a love of gardening, which I would never have thought possible. Probably, finally, I would say the biggest change for me has been I've really developed a love of nature. I think I'm much more observant of what's going on in the garden and roundabout. And I would say I see God's work in that much more than I ever have done historically.
Dear Lord, we lift Nick and Rachel to you now, and we thank you for the work that you've been doing in Nick's life, as he was describing in the video just then, during this lockdown time. And specifically in those areas that he mentioned of being present with you, being able to spend more time reading and being in the moment. Lord, we thank you that that's been a way that he's been blessed during this time with you, and Lord, for the appreciation of nature and creation and even gardening and walking out in the places where we live around here. We thank you, Father, for that opportunity to do that for him as well. Lord, we thank you also for the community. As Nick said, he's been able to witness community pulling together and helping each other out, and Lord, we're grateful for that too. And also, Father, for the new working patterns, working from home in perhaps a slightly fuller household than it has been for a while, and that's working out well, and that the broadband is holding up. Lord, we thank you for that, and that they've been able to find a way to make that work as well. Father, specifically, we want to pray that for Nick, you continue to provide him with wisdom and sensitivity at work when it comes to making decisions about real people's futures and livelihoods and working arrangements. And Father, we can look back and find that your hand has guided us in those things many, many times. And we do pray that here for Nick, that he will be able to say that as we go through this difficult time for those people. And Lord, we also pray for them as a family, as the new arrival becomes due, that they're able to get together and properly celebrate that time. And Father, we ask that you take care of the practicalities, the travel, the ability to be with one another during that time too. And Lord, we ask that as we come through lockdown and into whatever happens next, that you will enable Nick to take away from that and into the next phase the ability just to spend more time and to be more present. And like those words he quoted, to learn from the past and to look to the future, but to live in the present. And Father, we do pray, I think many of us pray that for many people as we come through this time as well. And it's with that in mind that I was reminded of the words of a song which you may be familiar with, which I'd like to just finish this prayer with. To be in your presence, to sit at your feet, when your love surrounds me and makes me complete. To rest in your presence, not rushing away, to cherish each moment, here I would stay. This is my desire, O Lord. This is my desire. Amen.
I'd say pretty well. One, because there are times when I've had to tell myself, look, you're doing this because apart from the Prime Minister, there are many people who don't want you to catch this thing, you know. And I feel happy about it. And as I say, it's, it bores me to know what people want to help you. It's a big it's a spirit of God. Oh yes, to feel you're surrounded by people, it seems, who would have nothing, just a flick of your finger, you know, if only you want something, you know, and a number of people must have signed up, the Haven, and even in the Hub, I guess, to do such things as they do. That's a wonderful thought, and I have thought, and the Lord knows this, these people are probably, a lot of them, maybe don't even go inside a church or belong to a church, but they show such goodness. I have to admit, I apart getting bored now and again and saying, oh, this is a blinking nonsense, you know. They're short and sweet because I know I have to accept it, and having accepted it means that we're doing what we can to play our part in getting over this. Not being able to get to the Hub, perhaps. Well, that is the thing I most miss, getting to the Hub. And, I miss. And that means a lot, Richard. That means a lot. And that's what this church activity does, you know, the Hub. It means a lot to us, occasionally, certainly, to see faces and join in wonderful prayers, you know.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for Bernard. Thank you for those that you have put around him during the current crisis to encourage him and to help him with the practicalities of life. We thank you for his fortitude during the crisis, for his friendship and his openness, and for his passion for you. We pray that you will give him patience and peace through the days to come, and encourage him by the real presence of your Holy Spirit. Continue to bless him and those who he loves. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they'd seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's Colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John.
We've been learning over the years, as those who follow Jesus, the importance of noticing situations, noticing those things around us, however small or insignificant they may appear to be, and most especially noticing people and their needs. It's a first-class way of serving God, by serving those made in his image. But it's been really encouraging to see especially how we've grown as a church family with the Befriend budding scheme, with our family work and parenting classes, with our one-to-one couple work, with our work through the cafe and projects like Buncton Manor Farm. Now some of these things have changed. Some of them have stopped for the time being during the COVID pandemic. But there are other things, because we've learned to notice, things that we can do, where we can respond as the body of Christ. We've shown that with the Community Hub response, with the food bank, with the prescription delivery service. We're getting food into the hands of those folk who most need it. But even now, we're noticing again that that's beginning to change. It's beginning to change shape as the needs change around us, as people can venture out and about a bit more than they did previously. Noticing is an important part of our ministry. It's an important part of our kingdom living. So Peter and John are on their way to pray, and they notice the cripple. He's there by the gate called Beautiful. They have probably seen him before, but now they noticed him. They were fresh from Pentecost, and they were now seeing with the eyes of the Holy Spirit, aware of God moving in their lives, giving them perhaps a vision that they hadn't previously had. And the guy that's been there begging, crippled from birth, notices them. A cripple with few prospects and no hope. Probably today with surgery and orthotics, he would have likely led a very different life, but back then all he could do was hope that those passing by would notice him. And Peter and John did. The trouble is they didn't have what he wanted, but they did have what he needed. New life and healing in Jesus. Not only did Peter and John notice him, they wanted to engage with him. They didn't ignore him. The man asked them for money, and Peter and John looked intently at him. Now, that's a rookie error. If you want to avoid people, you don't look at them. You don't catch their gaze. And yet they look intently at him, knowing that what he wanted, they hadn't got. Silver and gold, we don't have. But what we do have, we'll gladly share with you. I love that. They notice him, they engage with him, and they share with him what they themselves have found is changing them. That which is bringing healing and restoration and new life into them, they pass on to him. With the same expectation, it will bring the same results in his life. Get up and walk. And he does just that. The one who was noticed, the one who was engaged with, is met by the power of the risen Lord Jesus because of the faith and confidence of Peter and John. It's a wonderful story. So what do we take from that? Well, perhaps in our culture, if we came across a guy in that situation, we would try and get him to where he could get the help that he needed, perhaps through the miracle of science or our community social care structure. I suspect that brothers and sisters in different cultures and different contexts around the world, Cuba it will be a good example, will be expecting a more dramatic miracle of God intervening in a more direct and a more powerful way. And we might wish that we saw more of those kinds of miracles today in our lives. And the truth is, we do sometimes. God is able, of course, to intervene in powerful and dramatic and inexplicable ways. But it does seem much more often that the miracle of science and care is God's way of bringing blessing to those in need. Now, I firmly believe that miracles still happen. I've seen them, I've been a part of them. But let's remember that Acts chapter 3 is not the story of everyday occurrences. Acts has a velocity and energy where the Spirit is doing incredible things as the church is kicked into action for the very first time to demonstrate the veracity, the truth of the kingdom of God. I remember once when we were in Cuba, we spent some time with some of the folk there from another church. And it was getting late in the evening and past 11 o'clock. And they said they should be going. And I said, how are you going to get home? They had no transport. oh, we'll pray and we'll pray a truck will pass by and there'll be enough space on the truck to give us a ride home. They had every confidence that God would intervene and move in a dramatic way for them. It was past 11 o'clock at night, but sure enough, within 10 minutes, they texted me to say that a passing truck had stopped with enough space on it that was going to the very town where they all lived. Isn't God good? Well, we were blown away. For the Cubans, it was an everyday occurrence. It was nothing out of the ordinary. That's how God brings blessing in their time of need. That's a way of life for those in Cuba. Maybe when we take out our key fobs and we beep beep our car, maybe that's God's miracle to us of the way he provides for us, where we can get in it and drive it wherever we want to go. And to see a more dramatic intervention of God working, perhaps we need to live in a place where we don't enjoy all the blessings that we so often take for granted here. So perhaps then a better question for us is, who are we noticing? Who are we noticing that needs God's touch in their lives today? And once we've noticed them, will we engage them? Or is it not really our thing? Or are we too preoccupied, too poor, too busy? We can't say too busy anymore, can we? Too shut in, perhaps. There are loads of things in these COVID times that we cannot do. We cannot bless people in the way perhaps that we once did or would like to. But let's remember that God isn't in quarantine. God isn't in isolation. God isn't living in lockdown. He's alive and well and active and noticing and engaging and moving in the world in which we live. What I have, I give to you. What do you have that could bring a miracle into others' lives? Time to call, time to knock the door, time to write a note, time to notice others in Jesus' name. Not only will you notice, but will you engage? Will you give what you have for others? Will you bring healing and salvation, new life to your friends, neighbours, strangers, whoever God sends your way? I imagine Peter and John had no idea when they woke up in the morning what was going to happen that day. But they were filled with Pentecost power and they were poised with whatever came their way. So maybe we need to take a moment now and think about those whose paths we come across, even in these COVID times. People who we mix with, lives that we're tangled up with, people who might need us. Well, their needs may not be as obvious as the man crippled on the ground, but they might be just as crippled by their need. We need to remember that what is happening in Acts is a wonderfully powerful, a crucial time in the life of the church. These days are not ordinary days. And by comparison, it might seem like our day at our age is not as dynamic or as dramatic. But God still calls us to be channels through which his healing, his salvation can flow. And there's that lovely sense that God could have broken into this crippled man's life any time. But he chose to do it through Peter and John at that moment as the church starts off. So let's not underestimate the miracles that God wants to do through us, dramatically or seemingly in simple ways, to bring God's kingdom near. To bring his healing and wholeness to the broken, to bring friendship to the lonely, to bring hope to the hopeless, and to proclaim that God is for us, not against us. We go on noticing, engaging, and allowing God to move through us and bring his kingdom close.
Almighty God, from the beginning of time to the end of eternity, you have chosen to use your power and majesty to love us, to redeem us, to shape us as your people.
King of kings and Lord of lords, you became weak so you could confront the strength of sin and death, confounding their ridicule with your resurrection.
Spirit of God, resting upon us, may your power inflame us with your peace. May your peace touch us with your grace. May your grace fill us with your hope. May your hope lead us into your kingdom.
God in community, holy in one.
May your word be on our lips.
In Jesus' name, Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.